the book of 1 John. Hereby know we the spirit of truth, the spirit of error. The spirit of truth dwells in those that hear. The truth, they know the truth. The truth shall make you free. The difference is in those, the spirit of truth, the spirit of error, seen on the receiving of the truth and the rejection of the truth. Beloved, let us love one another. Let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God's love. Now what is said in reference to God here, loving God, means equally loving the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God the Father he has reference to, but we equally love God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. He died that we might live. He gave us life instead of death. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If a man loves God, the consequence of that love results in you and I loving one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. World of believers, Savior of the world. If that's taken out of the context of the whole of the doctrine of the Bible, and made to mean the Savior of the world, that is the world of all men, all flesh, all Adam's race, a universal salvation. Then why is he talking about whosoever shall confess that Jesus Christ the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God? See, the majority of the world at any given time. They don't confess that Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe that Jesus, they don't believe in Jesus as Jesus has revealed himself in the Scriptures. They don't believe that. So, he's talking about the world of those that God, well, down here in this one verse, it says, not that we love God, but that He loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. He loved us in eternity past. He loved us before we were sinners. We had a Savior before we ever sinned. He loved us before time. He loved us before the devil. He loved us before the flesh or the world or anything was had its being. He loved us. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, the Lord Jesus, so are we in this world. Now, not have to wait until judgment day to find out whose side you're on. Because as he is, as the Lord Jesus Christ is, right now, so are we. We're like him. We're in that. We have this union, vital union, this connection with him. We're the branch of the vine. He's the vine. I'm the true vine. You're the branches. We're union with him, connection with him. We're in him, and he's in us. And as he is, so are we. Whatever he is now, in all his kingly glory, that's what we are. He died, we died. He was buried, we was buried. He rose again, we rose with him. Been blessed by God in all heavenly places, spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ. Sin's all gone. We're with him. There can be no sin where the Lord Jesus Christ is, and that's where we're at, in him. He's our death, and he's our judgment, and we're in him, there before God. Because as he is, so are we. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. All right. This morning we talked about that question our Lord asked Peter when he said, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Peter said, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Now, he might have asked a question like this. He might have, but he didn't. The question that he asked was, lovest thou me? He might have said, believest thou me? He might have said that. He might have said, art thou converted, Peter? He might have said, art thou now, Peter, ready to confess me? He might have said, wilt thou obey me, Peter? But he used none of these expressions. He said, lovest thou me? That's vital. Lovest thou me? Simple as the question sounded, it certainly was most searching, in that it was directed to Peter as well as to us, but Peter primarily, in that Peter had most recently denied his Lord. He denied his Lord and said, I never knew him. They said, well, you're one of them. And he let out an oath and said, I never knew him. I never knew him. I mean, he said something that we would shrink from and probably probably say in our hearts, I'd never say anything like that. But we got the potential. You know, we got the potential. So it was a searching question, very revealing question. You know what you said back then, Peter? How you acted and all that. And he said this very gently and tenderly to Peter. Didn't come right out and say, well, you denied me once over there. You said that you'd die with me and this and that, but when the fire fell and the time to stand, you didn't stand. He didn't criticize Peter. He said to him, he said, Peter, lovest thou me? And he said, will you obey me now? Will you confess me now? You do this, he said, lovest thou me? Peter said, Lord, thou knowest. Well, simple as the question sounded, he would have Peter to know, and he would have you and I to know, on which a man's Christianity hinges. What is this ground of a man's Christianity? What is the ground of it? What is that which is vital and important over and above everything else? Well, if a man loves Jesus Christ, all is right with him. If he loves Jesus Christ, now don't misunderstand me. If he loves Jesus Christ as he's revealed in this book, there's many Jesuses in the minds of many people. They have formed many conceptions of who Jesus is. But I'm talking just like the Bible talks. I'm talking about if a man loves the Christ of the Bible. If he loves the Christ of the Bible, all is right. And if he doesn't love the Christ of the Bible, all's wrong. Now, if it's the Jesus of the 20th century that we hear so much about, this Jesus that they say, well, God sent him, he came from God, we believe that he come from God, but do you believe that he accomplished the purpose that God sent him to fulfill? Do you believe that? He didn't come to pay the penalty for every man in Adam's race. That was not the purpose of the Lord Jesus. He came to accomplish redemption for the people that God gave him before time ever was. Well, did he accomplish their redemption? Well, a man's salvation depends upon his free will. He has no free will. How can he depend upon his free will when he doesn't have a free will? He forfeited every right and claim that he had in God in the Garden of Eden. His will is not going upward, but his will is bent going downward according to his nature. He's not free. He has no free will. What Jesus do you believe in? I'm talking about the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus that God commissioned and appointed, the Jesus who God sent, and the Jesus who suffered rejection from the time of his birth till the time he died. And when he said, right before he died, he said, the last thing that he said, it's finished. It's finished. All the Father has given me to do, it's finished. I've completed it. The redemption is accomplished, and everyone for whom I die, they'll be there at the table. The question of sin is settled for those that I come to redeem. I redeemed them. I lived for them, and I died for them, and redeemed them through my blood, and with my blood, and by my blood. I've afforded them a ground of righteousness to stand upon. I've made them accepted in the Beloved. They're mine. They're my jewels. I did it all. Now, that's the kind of Jesus I'm talking about. When I say that if a man truly loves Jesus, all is right. But it's got to be the Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus of the 20th century that we hear so much about, who's trying to do something, but he can't do it. He wishes and hopes and desires that all men would love him, but he can't make men love him. That's not the kind of Jesus I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Jesus of the Bible. So if a man truly loves Christ, all is right. If not, then all is wrong. Now knowledge and faith and hope and reverence and obedience are all marked and distinguished features and principles in a man who is a true Christian, man or woman, boy or girl. But the picture would be incomplete if his love was omitted from the picture. Hear what I say now. Knowledge, faith, hope, reverence, obedience are all marked features in a true Christian character. But the picture would be incomplete if you left out his love. For our Lord said, Peter, lovest thou me? Everything hinges on that. That's what I'm saying. Lovest thou me? Me, the Christ of the Bible. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Me, the Christ of the Bible. Give you rest because I am rest. I'll give you rest of conscience. I'll give you peace. I'll give you righteousness. I'll give you hope. Come to me. Come to me. Well, great is the danger of the individual that believeth not that Jesus is the Christ. Great is his danger. The danger of him that loveth not the Lord Jesus Christ is as equally great. Man, Jesus said, he that believeth not shall not see the Son of God. He that believeth not hath no hope. He also says, he that loveth not the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, over there in 1 Corinthians, I read that verse to you this morning, I believe. 1 Corinthians 16:22, it says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be accursed. If any man loves not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be damned. Let him be cursed by God, and let him live in eternity separated from the God of all mercy and the God of all grace. Now in this particular verse here, the Apostle Paul, inspired of God to write these words, he allows no way of escape to the man who does not love Christ. No way. No way. I don't care how much knowledge he has, how much doctrine he believes. He said if he loves not the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no way out. Let him be cursed before God. Let him live in hell forever. That's what he's saying. He allows no way of escape to the man who does not love the Lord Jesus Christ. He leaves no loophole. He makes no excuse. A man may lack clear head knowledge and yet be saved. He may fail in courage, and he may be overcome by fear like Peter did. But he may fall tremendously like David fell. But if a man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not in the way of life. David fell. He fell and was restored, wasn't he? Peter, he fell. denied his Lord. Lovest thou me, Peter? You know, Lord, I love you. I love you. Now, if a man does not love Jesus Christ, he is not in the way of life, but he's on the broad way. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Here the apostle here in the book of Ephesians, the last chapter, I believe. Last chapter of the book of Ephesians, last verse of the book of Ephesians. This is what Paul says here. He says in this last verse, grace, grace be to all them. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And in my Bible it says, there's a little number there, in sincerity. Right before in sincerity is number 7, and it refers you over it to the center column of your Bible. And it says, or without, or with incorruption. Sincerity with honesty and integrity with all his heart, all that's in it. Love. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Here in this book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is declaring his goodwill and his wishes to all true Christians here at Ephesus. And many of these that lived in Ephesus that was in this body of Christ, in this church, many of them Paul had never seen. And probably many of them were weak believers, weak in the faith. There's weak in the faith back in these early churches. That's understandable, isn't it? How a man could be weak in the faith, weak in knowledge, weak in doctrine, and some of them, in all probability, were weak in knowledge, weak in faith, in other areas. How then shall Paul describe them in sending this letter of goodwill and encouragement? What words will he use here that will not discourage these weak believers? Well, he uses a word here that's sincerity, love and sincerity. He uses one that exactly describes all true Christians with one common name. He says, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Love him in truth. Love him for who he is. Love him for what he does. Love him. Truly love him. You can... That's one thing that there's a lot of so-called Calvinists that believe the 5 points to Calvinism that have no love for the person of Christ. They believe the doctrines, total depravity, on down to unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and all those things. They believe the doctrine. But they have no sincere love. They left that out. They have a form of godliness. No power. Lack something. Well, over here, turn with me to another verse of Scripture. In John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 32, I believe. Or verse... 42. listen to what he says here. Jesus said unto them, you've got to remember who he was talking to now. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself. He was sent of God. God Himself sent the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says now, if God were your Father, ye would love me. If God were your Father. Well, He's talking to these misguided enemies. Enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's enemies. He says in verse 25 or verse 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. If ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? Our Lord said unto him, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. It's the Christ of God. God sent me. He goes on down. Jesus said unto them, whom ye have lifted, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he goes on. And up there in the 36th verse, he said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now these misguided enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, or he said, I know that you're Abraham's seed. I know that. Literally, they were the descendants of Abraham. I know that ye are Abraham's seed. But ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. So he saw these misguided enemies perfectly satisfied with their spiritual condition. Now, what satisfied them was that they stood on the single ground that they were children of Abraham. They stood on that ground. They said, we be God's children. We be God's people. We are of Abraham's seed. Well, they claimed to be God's children for no better reason than that they were circumcised when they were babies. That's what they claimed. We're circumcised. We got the circumcision of Moses. Abraham's our father. God's our father. Well, listen. He lays down the broad principle that no man is a child of God who does not love God's only begotten Son. If ye were of God, that's what he says. If ye were of God, ye would love me. Ye would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God, neither came I myself, but He sent me. If God were your Father, you'd love me. In other words, then, no man has a right to call God his Father who does not love the Lord Jesus Christ. See how important this is? Lovest thou me? I understand the doctrines. I believe in election. I believe that. I believe the limited atonement. I believe that. That's not what I'm asking you, he said. Lovest thou me in sincerity? Do you really love me? If you don't love me, you've got no right to call God your Father. That's exactly what he's saying. He can't make it any plainer than this, Bob. If God were your father, you'd love me. But instead of loving me, you have set your heart on killing me. God's not your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham. Well, he said, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. My word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, our Lord speaking, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father, the devil. They answered and said unto him, Abraham's our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. Because Abraham seen Christ's day and rejoiced. They didn't do no rejoicing. He said, you do the deeds. You seek to kill me. You seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. They said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said, if God were your Father, you'd love me. You'd love me. No man has a right to call God Father who does not love God's Christ. No love to Christ, then no sonship to God. That's the principle laid down here by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Over there in 1 John, I read to you, chapter 4, verse 19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. We love Him, why? Because He first loved us. What do you mean by that? He loved us in eternity. Paul said, according as He hath chosen us in Him, we love Him. Because He set His seal upon us in eternity past. We love Him. We love Him. Because before time ever was, before the world ever was, before sin ever was, before the world ever was, before the devil ever was, He loved us. The true believer who loves Him with sincerity loves Him for all He's done for Him. What's He done for us? He suffered in our place. He suffered in our place as a man, like we're men. He suffered as a man in our stead, in our room, in our place. Suffered in our place. He died for us who were His enemies. He redeemed us from the guilt and the power and the consequence of sin by and through His blood. We love Him because of what He's done for us. We love Him because He has called us by His Spirit to self-knowledge of ourselves. He's revealed unto us who we are, sinners. We love Him. Remember I told you here the other night, I told you the more that you can prove to me that I am a sinner, the more you entitle me to the love of God. Because He came to save sinners. Self-knowledge. We love Him because He has given us self-knowledge of ourselves. He's given us repentance. He's given us faith. He's given us hope. He's given us holiness. He hath forgiven us of all of our sins. Every one of them from start to finish. He has forgiven us. He has blotted them out. He's wiped the slate clean. They're gone. Gone forever. There's no condemnation. There's no judgment. We love Him because He first loved us and stood in our place and died for us, suffered for us. Gave us all these things. We love Him in sincerity and truth. He's freed us from captivity of the world, the flesh, and the devil. He's taken us from the brink of hell and placed us in the narrow way. He has set our faces towards heaven. He has given us light instead of darkness. He has given us peace of conscience instead of uneasiness and weariness and doubt. He hath given us hope instead of uncertainty. He hath given us life instead of death. Can you wonder why this evening that people like you and I, for whom He died, sinners, love Him like we do? Huh? Can you wonder why? Oh, there's no wonder to me. Love Him. Love Him because He clothed me in His righteousness. Clothed me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet in His perfect righteousness. Took me by the hand. Made me, presented me before God in all of His acceptability, in His righteousness. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's what He's done for us. That's the reason we love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. Well, I hope you can see that it's vital that we love Him. Love Him. If we love Him, we love to hear about Him, don't we? If we love Him, we love to talk about Him. If we love Him, we love to be in the society of those that love Him and talk about Him. We love to read about Him. We love His gospel. We love everything about Him. We can't find anything about Him that we don't love. The beauty and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in all of His glory and riches left it all, become a man, stood in our place as our sin bearer, established a righteousness for us, rendered obedience unto God in our stead, our place, made us accepted in the Beloved. Beloved, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God, sons and daughters of God? No wonder why we love Him. We love Him. I said this morning, we love the sermon that is full of the Christ of God. We love to talk about Him, exalt Him. Can't exalt Him enough. Can't praise Him enough. He's worthy of far more than you and I give Him. Would that we could give Him what is His due.